somebody else's. You better make sure it's on the inside, burning before you give it out. And nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, if you look at Solomon, you look at Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the preacher, says at that last chapter, he says, these things I've received from other men. And so he learns from other men and give to other men. And so there's nothing new under the sun. And so I hope you will know that. Let's go Genesis chapter number 14. We'll begin reading verse number 17. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I do ask you that you'd guide me. I thank you that we do have your living word. Lord, we have a living Savior. You've given us your living Holy Spirit to dwell within every believer. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father God, that you'd help me to say the things that I ought to say in the spirit and the manner they ought to be said. God, I pray that you'd help it to be blessed, each point. I may be even preaching of something, Lord, that and you may speak to heart that has nothing to do with this message. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free course and free reign. And God, I pray that you would be glorified and honored, and eternal work and eternal fruit would take place. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And this is Abraham rescuing Lot from some other kings that had attacked Sodom and Gomorrah, and some other kings that went out to meet Chedorlaomer, the kings. And so, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Verse number 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. In other words, Abram said, look, for me, it's my choice. But he didn't force it on anybody else with him. They had to make their own choice. Everybody knew where Abraham stood. Verse number 1 of chapter number 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In verse number 18, I want you to see a statement that Melchizedek made when he met Abraham. He said, the Bible says of him, he was the priest, talking about Melchizedek, of the Most High God. And then Melchizedek made the statement to Abraham in verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Two times you see that statement, three times you see that statement. Twice by Melchizedek, one referring to him, the other Melchizedek referring to Abraham, and then the other was Abraham referring to the king of Sodom, that I serve the Most High God. And so I put a little question there to Abraham, and I put it to you. Abraham, who is God? Who is God? And we say he's the Most High God. What does that mean? What does that mean? Dwell on those things a minute. I'm going to go over here and turn this organ off because I don't think it's off. We're going to have to ban Miss Janice from playing if she don't turn it off. It makes noises, and I don't want the devil to be coming through the organ while I'm the Holy Spirit speaking through me, I hope. But anyhow, when we get to this message, I'm going to ask you that same question. If someone were to ask you, who is God? What would you say? What could you say about the Lord? And so, like I said, Melchizedek said this. Oftentimes, my wife, she's got a great memory, and she'll begin to remind me of things, maybe events that happened in our life in the past. And she'll begin to display that event and talk to me about it and tell me all about this. And she said, do you remember that? Sometimes I do. But the older I get, the less I remember sometimes the details. And I often forget the details that she's referring to me. Life sometimes is like that. We go through life, we go through even today. I thought about why sitting up here. You know, we go through a form. We go through our, well, look, I'm doing my duty, or I'm doing what I'm supposed to do today. But in the process of it, are we enjoying life? Are we getting all that we should get from it? And so many times we miss the event by going through the motion. And we miss the moment by going through life. And we miss sometimes the most precious things that God wants to declare to us by just going through life and not really enjoying it. When you look at here, Abraham, God had, in these 12 chapters, God dedicated to Abraham from Genesis chapter number 12, basically all the way to the 24th chapter, he gave all to Abraham. And he is one of the high men, or high water marks, if you want to call one of men, in the Bible. He's the father of the faithful. If you go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and all those patriarchs that are mentioned there, Abraham has the most, if there's anything said about one man in his life, the most is given in that 11th chapter is given to Abraham. And in here, we just spoke about just a little bit briefly. I'm just touching it as I go through it. But in the 12th chapter, we see there at the end of the 11th chapter, in the beginning of the 12th chapter, we see that where God had called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, his family was moon worshipers, star worshipers. He was from an idolistic nation. And God called him and saved him. I told you last week he gave his heart to the Lord. He was saved. And so God called him from the Ur of the Chaldees. In the midst of his call, you look there in the 12th chapter and the first few verses, the Bible begins to say, God begins to declare to Abraham all the blessings that God would give him. God said, I'll bless you with the seed. He said, I'll bless you with many nations. He said, I'm going to bless you with a land that you will get to inhabit it. And so he left his land, the Ur of the Chaldees, and went to search for that land that God said, I will show you. That was the land of Canaan. He said, it'll be from the river Egypt all the way to the Euphrates. That's all of Israel's. That's all that God promised to him. He said, all that'll be yours. And so Abraham goes through obeying the Lord because God had blessed him. And in the process of him going, journeying, we see that God began to bless him. I talked this past week about the tent and the altar. I mostly spoke about the altars that Abraham blessed. And I said, we found out part of the secret of Abraham's blessing was the altars in which he built. Those altars were memorials of his worship toward the Lord, the faith toward God. And everybody else could see his faith. And those altars were his faith toward God. The tent was his faith in God because he trusted God to take care of all his needs. But his altar was his faith toward God. And so he built altars. So we talked about those altars. Then we come to this chapter where actually Abraham and Lot had separated. And in the midst of their God fast forward, and Lot got in some trouble. He had moved, put his tent toward Sodom. And then the next time we see him, he's living in Sodom. And then he was taken captive by these kings because these kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, some other kings, had revolted against this one particular king. And so after the 12 years, they revolted on that 12th year. The 13th year, this king came up and went against these kings and fought the battle. And in the process, they took Lot, they took his family, they took the wealth of Sodom, and they took it with them. And so Abram heard about it from someone that escaped. And he took his 318 servants that were hired servants, skilled, and he set out after it. He divided in the midst of the night, and he destroyed those. And he set Lot free and got all the goods. And so you look here in these few verses, in these few chapters, we see all these events that are taking place. You keep on reading. And God, each time, is declaring again his covenant, his promise, his blessing to him. We see Abraham, how he disobeys and tries to supersede with Sarah and try to basically help God out on his plan. But in the midst of all these things that we are learning, somehow it seems to me we're learning about Abraham, but God seems to stop. He said, I want you to look and learn about me. I want you to learn about me. A lot of events in life, a lot of things take place. A lot of times we are blessed, very blessed, A lot of blessings come our way. But you know what it is? It's very easy to forget God. And Abraham was being blessed. But God stopped. And in these few chapters I'm going to deal with, God stops and begins to declare to Abraham who he was. Now, we already heard what Melchizedek said of God. He said he's the Most High God. Abraham said the same thing. He said he's the Most High God. He went on to say he is the possessor of heaven and earth. That's what those men say of God. But God stops. He says, this is what I am. This is who I am. So we do know he's the Most High God. That's definitely inspired of God. It's inspired of his word by the Holy Spirit. But God, like I said, stops Abraham. And he declares to Abraham who he was. And I'm going to just share these things to you and just exalt the Lord if I can. The first thing he says there in the 15th chapter, in the first verse, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And so you see the first things that he said, that he was his shield. God was Abraham's shield. Remember the story I told you about the altars and blessing, the sacrifice, and then God's blessing, the altar of obedience and blessing, the altar of repentance and blessing. Well, Abraham, like I said, had altars of obedience. And we come to this 15th chapter. Abraham had made some moral decisions for God that we just read. Instead of choosing the world, he made some moral decisions. He could have chose the other way and still been right. But he made it as hard and deadly. God spoke to him. He made some moral decisions for God, and God, he obeyed the Lord, and God came to the 15th chapter, the first verse, and he says, he begins to remind him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And so Abraham had just been delivered out of a battle. Could you imagine? Here it is. I believe there were five kings that went to war against four other kings. And they could not whip these four other kings. Now, could you imagine the soldiers that these four other kings had? Abraham takes his 318 hired servants and divides them and goes into battle. The Bible doesn't say anything about his interceding with the Lord. He just heard that his nephew was in trouble. He set his plan about, he took off after him, divided his troops up, and beat and whipped those soldiers, those trained soldiers from those four kings, and whipped them what five other kings could not do. And in the midst of that battle, I can imagine maybe there was an opportunity that he would have gotten killed many times. But the Lord reminds Abraham, he said, I am thy shield. I'm the one that took care of thee. I'm the one that's kept you from getting killed, from being destroyed. And so the Lord God is our shield. I looked up the word, what a shield means. It means God is our defender. It means God is our warrior. It means God is our protector. It means God is our hedge of protection, our wall of defense. All these things refer to God as our shield. You remember old David and Goliath, and old Goliath come out. You know he had one basically soldier that went out in front of Goliath to hold just a shield. The Lord is more than just our protector. He is our shield. So I begin to dwell on, what is it? God is, he said, I am thy shield. You say, Brother Sewell, we're not in those war days. We don't have to have a shield. We don't have to have a sword. We don't have to have a spear. Well, you read Ephesians chapter 6, you're supposed to have. You're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. But the Bible says, how is God our shield? I can tell you one thing. God is our shield against his own wrath. Do you know God is a shield against his own wrath? Let me give you a verse that we read, always quote John 3:16. Well, in the same chapter, in John 3, verse 36, it says this, he that believeth on the Son hath, that's present tense, everlasting life. And he that believeth not shall not see life. In other words, he's not going to see heaven. He's not going to have eternal life. And so the Bible says, he that believeth not shall not see life. But listen to what it says. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Abideth on him. Do you know if we're saved, I'm a saved child of God, but before I was saved, the wrath of God abided on me? You say, Brother Sewell, what is the wrath of God? Well, let me give you another verse that I wrote down. In Revelations, you need to write this down in your margin, but in Revelations chapter number 21 and verse number 8 says this, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, Brother Sewell, I'm not a sorcerer. I'm not a whoremonger. You say, I'm not a liar. But he says, the fearful and the unbelieving. You say, what'll send a man to hell? Unbelief. Just not believing in Jesus Christ. He says, if a man doesn't believe, the wrath of Almighty God dwells on him. You say, what is God's wrath? You look at hell. You'll see God's wrath. You look at the cross. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was so mutilated you couldn't even tell he was a man. The Bible says that God bore our wrath. He bore our sin on the cross. And God the Father poured out his wrath on God the Son. And all that will not enter into his covenant and not believe in the gift and the blessing that God has offered through his Son and will not believe, they have the wrath of God on. And so praise the Lord when the Bible says that God shields us from his wrath. Who does that? How does he do that? Through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our shield in salvation. And so he doesn't just cover us, just save us. He covers us with his blood and he gives us protection. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 35. Psalms chapter number 35. Not only is he our shield from his wrath, but he's also our shield in life. He's our shield in life. Psalms chapter 35, verse number 1, this is what David is saying. He said, Lord, he said, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Psalm 35, verse number 1, fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Here David is, and David says, Lord, I need you to fight for me. And he says there in that second verse, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for me. He's not speaking to his army there. He's speaking to the Savior there. And so he goes on to say, verse number 3, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. He said, Lord, speak to me and tell me I'm your child, that I will save thee, is what he says. I want you to look on down, verse number 12. They rewarded me, and this is David talking to the Lord, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling or to the bereaving of my soul. Now I want you to look what it says in verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick. David is sick right here. He said, Lord, when they were sick. Keep on saying what he said. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. And my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. Here it is, David is sick to the point maybe even of death. And they're rejoicing that David is sickly, even to the point of death. But he said, Lord, if you'll take your shield and be my salvation. You know, the Lord is our shield in all of life. Not only just in salvation, but all of health. He's our shield. In Job chapter 1, I want you to turn back. Just Job chapter number 1. You know these verses, but I read it again this morning. It really stirred my heart. It was exciting. And so I want to show you again, just remind you of God's word. Verse number 10. Job chapter number 10. Remember, Job is one of God's children. And God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? He put him out there on the pedestal. What about Job? He said, what have you been doing, Satan? He said, oh, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth. No resistance. Nobody's living for God. And so he said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And let's pick up our reading, verse number 10, what Satan says here. This is what he said, verse 10. Hast not thou made a hedge about him? What is that? Shield. He said, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Not just about him. Everything that he has, I can't touch. Because you put a shield. You put a hedge about him. He says, about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that God had put a hedge about Job. You know what the Lord puts around this preacher here? A hedge. Not just on me, but on my wife, on my family, on all that I own, or supposed to own. All that. You know, the Bible even says when you go to the Lord's house that he protects your home if you're one of his children. Do you know that? The Bible gives that promise. And so a lot of times people go, well, I don't know why my house got robbed. We should have been in the right place. God made a promise. And so you look at these things, God is our shield. I don't know if you're like me. Y'all look some like me. You don't look as good as me, but you look kind of like me. I don't know if you think like me. I doubt it. You'd be bringing way down low if you were thinking. But in my little mind, you know what I do? I often question the Lord. I say, you know, Lord, I think that's for men like Abraham. I think you're, for men like David, you do that. Lord, I think maybe for Job, you do that. Those are big men. But I don't know if you do it for me, Lord. You ever told the Lord that in your heart? I have. In the part, I said, Lord, I don't know if you're that to me. The Lord is Abraham's shield. He's Job's shield. And he's David's shield. Did you know he's also my shield? You know, Moses said, Lord, when God called him there in the wilderness, you know, Moses stuttering, Lord, not me. I can't speak. Lord, not me. I'm not qualified. Lord, I'm just a shepherd. Lord, don't you remember? I murdered a fellow. I mean, he's giving all these excuses. And so God convinced him to go down there, and he said, Lord, they're going to ask, who is it that's sending me? And the Lord said, you say, I am that I am. This is Israel's God, not just Moses' God. This is Israel's God. The Lord said to Abraham, I am thy shield. The Lord said to Moses and to the nation of Israel, I am that I am. Whatever you need as a child of God, he said, I'm it. I'm the Most High God. There's nobody else beside me. I'm possessor of heaven and earth. I'm your shield. I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm with me. We're in, you may be there, but in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord, some years back, spoke to my heart. And I preached a message out of this. You may not remember it. But in verse number 1, it says in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. That means Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And I want you to listen to this statement. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I looked up back in my study. The Bible mentions in these Psalms there, Jehovah Ra, we're talking about his name, he's Jehovah. That means the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. And so let's go and just hear, the Lord is my shepherd. That's, he is Jehovah Ra, the shepherd. I shall not want, that's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He restoreth my soul, that's Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He leadeth me beside still waters and makes me lie down in green pasture. He is Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. He prepareth a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He is Jehovah Nisi, my banner. I will fear no evil. He is Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present. You say, what are you trying to say? The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Is he yours? That all of those names, for his name's sake, he brings us down a path for his name's sake. What name do you need? I'll tell you, I am that I am is all that you need. But God says all through his word who he is. I am thy shield is what he gave to Abraham. Not only did he say this, he said also to Abraham, he said, I am thy exceeding great reward. You can go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 15. He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now remember, like I said, Abraham obeys, and God blesses. Abraham comes back from this battle. He has his nephew, he has their family. The Bible says he had the women they had taken. But he also had the goods, he had the money. 318 soldiers, or servants and soldiers with him. He comes back, has all the goods. He gets met with two kings. He gets met with the king of Melchizedek, the king of Salem, or the king of peace. But he also gets met with the king of Bera, which is the king of Sodom. Now, Bera means gifts, and Sodom means burning. In other words, he gets met with these two kings. And Melchizedek calls him the Most High God. And the Bible says there that Abraham paid all the tithes of all the tithes. So I guess I don't know if that was all the goods or all the tithes that he owed. I don't know. But he gave all the tithe to Melchizedek. This for law, people. Before law. I hope you remember that. People will say, well, that's Old Testament law. This is before law. So he gave the tithe. Tithe means tenth. And so he gives all that tithe to Melchizedek. And then the Bible says that here comes Bera, the king of Sodom. And he says, I'll tell you what, Abraham, you can keep all the money. You can keep all the goods. Just give me the people. By the way, that's what the devil wants. He wants people to worship him, to the Father. And so Abraham made a vow to the Lord. Let's read it. You know, he'd say it better than I do. Verse number 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the best possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Abraham had a choice. He could take and put all his dependency upon God. And that's what he said. I've lifted my hands to the possessor of heaven and earth. All that I have is God's. God will take care of me. But he had an offering from the world's offering that will burn one day if you live for this world. It offers a gift, but it'll burn. I'm not talking about hell. I'm talking about when God tries our work, it'll burn up if you live for this earth. Remember I told you there's two questions that every Christian has to do, heaven or hell, or heaven and the second is heaven and earth. Abraham had lived for heaven, and heaven and earth is what he lived for. And he declared it in open testimony. God has all of me, and I have all of his. And when he declared that, God said in the 15th chapter, the first verse, he said, I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. What's he saying? God said, Lord, because you honored me, I'm going to honor you. Do you can imagine? Abraham was a wealthy man. You had to be pretty wealthy to take and hire 318 servants. Billy, you don't have that many work for you, do you? 318? There's some other people here. That's a lot of servants. That's not counting their children, their wives, and whatever else their entourage they brought with them, aunts, uncles, grandmas. And Abraham had to provide for them. Could you imagine all that wealth from those cities? He could have used it. I'm sure that was quite a bit of money. But he said, not me. Not me. He said, I depend on the Lord. And God said, I am the exceeding great reward. You know, God, when we honor the Lord, God blesses us. Now listen to me now. God blesses a believer with salvation. But I'll tell you what else He'll bless you. He'll bless you with spiritual blessings. He said, well, every Christian gets that. No, sir. There's a lot of Christians that may have a home in heaven, but they're living for this earth. They don't have the spiritual blessings that were given to Abraham. Many people live and they say, well, I'm living for this. They make the wrong choice and they don't have God's blessing. They were saved. They don't have a spiritual blessing here on this earth. They have a home in heaven, but they don't have the eternal rewards and the blessings waiting for them. God said to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. You know what he was trying to take Abraham that we look up to? He was trying to bring Abraham to the place where, Abraham, I'm all you need. I'm all you need. And when God gets to that place in my life and in your life, you'll see a blessing that you've never seen before. But God has to come to the place where He's all we need. He said, I am thy exceeding great reward. And I want to tell you something. That is untold. I was talking to Chad this week about we were talking about eternity. The only way I can explain to you is eternity is looking to the universe that we cannot see. We're in the Milky Way. There are countless billions of stars in the Milky Way. But the scientists tell us, there's over 100 billion more galaxies that we don't even know anything about, or we can see just a little bit. Could you imagine how vast is that? God is infinite. What does that mean? It means you cannot measure Him. And I said to Chad, I said, probably all of eternity. And that's how long it would take to see and know who God really is. You want God's eternal reward? God doesn't just bless. He gives everlasting promises. You can read, I think, in the 17th chapter of Genesis, whole Abraham saying, Lord, bless Ishmael. He said, I'm going to bless Ishmael. He said, but with you and with Isaac, I've made an everlasting covenant. You say, what is that? That means it's everlasting. That God makes promises that are everlasting. I'd rather have the everlasting promises than just the blessings. But I can have both. And the Lord says, we can have both. Let me give you one lastly, and I'll be quick. God also said, I am the Almighty God. Turn, if you would, to the 17th chapter. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. And in the first verse of the 17th chapter, he said, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. You say, what does Almighty mean? I told you before, I looked it up in the concordance one time. You know what the definition is? Almighty. What else are you going to say to Almighty? He's Almighty. And so I got to reading in there, and the Bible gives a lot of promises. But he says here in the 7th verse, look at what his 6th verse, he says, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. Look at verse number 7. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, to thy seed after thee. Look at verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land where thou art strangers, and all the land of Canaan. He keeps on saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. You know why God's saying that? Because Abraham couldn't. Abraham couldn't. You say, what is Almighty God? I can tell you, Almighty is when we can't do it, but God can. God is the God of the Almighty. God is the God of the impossible. If I can make it possible, then why would I need God? But God is the Almighty God. Abraham, I already told you, was a wealthy man. I don't care how much money you have. You can't buy a family. Oh, you make it buy. But Abraham in that day, he tried to supersede, but he couldn't buy God's promise. You can't buy eternal life. Okay, how much money you have. Can't buy eternal life. And all from the River Euphrates all the way down to the Nile River in Egypt, he couldn't buy that land. He didn't have that much money. But God did. All those nations, and the seed meant so much, all those things, he couldn't provide. But God could. God said, I'm the Almighty. What you cannot do, I can do. I ask you this morning, what God do you serve? Who is the Most High God to you? Is he your shield? Do you know him as salvation? Have you seen him raise you up out of sickness? Is he your shield? Is he your protector? What is he to you? God says to Abraham, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. I am Almighty God. You just go through the Bible. Remember, this is a seed. In the beginning, God. That's all he says of himself. But you begin to go through each page, God reveals who he is. I am. I am. I don't know what your need is this morning. But I can tell you this. If it's health, I know a God who's a shield, a protector, and a healer. I know a Jehovah Nissi that can be your banner, your protector. I know that God. You don't know him. You need to come to him today and kneel in repentance and put your faith in God. Not anything else, not in religion, but in God. And God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, I do that every time. Oh, that's said in a group of scriptures. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he goes on to say that whosoever shall call upon that Lord shall be saved. That's how a person's saved. Repenting of their sin, turning to God, and putting your faith in God. If you don't know that God, that's how you come to know him. But you may be here and you say, Brother Sewell, I do know him. As God's children, as the invitation is given, why don't you just begin to thank him for who he is? Or maybe ask him for what you need. And I would claim those names because they're God's promises to us. Let's go to the Lord.